It's Monday, October 28, 2024. I'm Arlene Ford, and reading the front pages of the Hartford Courant and New York Times with me today is Lou Morando. Let's take a look at the photos on the front page of the Hartford Courant, and there are three, and two of them are related to the same story. The first photo we're looking at Logan Singerman, who is director of CINO, which is the South Side Institutional Neighborhood Alliance. And he is talking about the improvements along Washington Street in Hartford. And in the photo, we're looking at some of the apartment buildings, and we see a white van going down the street as well. We're going to be doing a story on that later on in the broadcast. Then there's a photo looking down Washington Street toward the state capitol, and there we see an empty storefront for lease in the new state parking garage, which is located at the corner of Washington and Buckingham Streets in Hartford. Then the third photo, we're looking at four individuals who are members of the East Haddam Veterans of Foreign Wars post 33-36. And they call themselves the Cemetery Troopers. And they are raising a toppled 300-pound marble headstone at Bashan Cemetery as part of the group's work to repair and clean broken and fallen historic stones that are scattered among the town's 23 cemeteries. That's it for the photos on the front page. Let's now begin with our lead story. Egypt offers two-day Gaza ceasefire. Proposal includes aid, Hamas's return of four October 7 hostages. This is out of Ramat Hasharon, Israel. Egypt's president announced Sunday that his country has proposed a two-day ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, during which four hostages held in Gaza would be freed. President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi, speaking in Cairo, said the proposal includes the release of some Palestinian prisoners and the delivery of humanitarian aid to the besieged Gaza Strip. Egypt has been a key mediator along with Qatar and the United States. This is the first time Egypt's president has publicly proposed such a plan. There was no immediate response from Israel or Hamas. El-Sisi said the proposal aims to move the situation forward, adding that once the two-day ceasefire goes into effect, negotiations would continue to make it permanent. The UN Security Council scheduled an emergency meeting Monday at Iran's request. Switzerland, which holds the Council's rotating presidency, said Russia, China, and Algeria, the Council's Arab representative, supported the request. There hasn't been a ceasefire in 11 months since November's week-long pause in fighting, in which 105 hostages were released in exchange for 240 Palestinian prisoners. Meanwhile, Israel's Mossad chief was traveling to Doha on Sunday for talks with the Prime Minister of Qatar and the CIA chief. During a government memorial Sunday for the Hebrew calendar's anniversary of the October 7th attack, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant said that not every goal can be achieved through military operations, and painful compromises will be required to return the hostages. Egypt's proposal came a day after Israeli strikes on Iran in response to Iran's ballistic missile attack October 1st. Iran's supreme leader said the attack should not be exaggerated nor downplayed, while stopping short of calling for retaliation. It was Israel's first open attack on its arch enemy. That exchange of fire has raised fears of an all-out regional war, pitting Israel and the United States against Iran and its militant proxies, which include Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, where Israel launched a ground invasion this month after nearly a year of lower-level conflict sparked by the war in Gaza. Meanwhile, Israeli strikes on northern Gaza killed at least 33 people, mostly women and children, Palestinian officials said Sunday, as Israel's offensive in the hard-hit and isolated area entered a third week, and the UN Secretary General called the plight of Palestinians unbearable. Israel said it's the Israeli military. Four soldiers, including a military rabbi, were killed in fighting in southern Lebanon without providing details. A drone and a projectile fired from Lebanon wounded five people, in Israel, authorities said. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in his first public comments on the Iran strikes, said, "We severely harmed Iran's defense capabilities and its ability to produce missiles that are aimed toward us." Iran said Sunday that a civilian had been killed with no details. It earlier said four people with the military air defense were killed. It is up to the authorities to determine how to convey the power and will of the Iranian people to the Israeli regime, said Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's 85-year-old supreme leader. He would make any final decision on how Iran responds. The time may have come for hospital court corridor. Here are the seven properties to watch along Hartford's Washington Street. It was once a power address. Tens of thousands travel Hartford's Washington Street each week to two major hospitals, courthouses, and Trinity College. But the street, with its high-profile mix of uses, has fallen short of the stature that would be expected of a thoroughfare with the Gold Dome of the state capitol at its northern end. To me, Washington Street ought to be a monumental street, Michael W. Freemuth, executive director of the Capital Region Development Authority, said. It leads right to the Capitol. It's got the courthouses, the state buildings, the hospitals, Trinity College as strength. It just needs to be knitted back together. In Hartford, there is often debate around reconnecting neighborhoods in the city that have become physically isolated. The Washington Street corridor is another example and is drawing renewed attention amid Hartford Hospital's plans to invest $1 billion in its campus over the next decade. That investment builds on an ambitious $326 million expansion by Connecticut Children's, expected to be completed by the end of 2025. And some see the neighboring Bushnell South development of up to 1,000 apartments on a swath of parking lots and empty buildings as a way to more strongly connect Washington Street to downtown. Washington Street has been on the city of Hartford's redevelopment radar. Now the city has a tentative agreement with a Massachusetts developer to convert the former city-owned Hartford Trade School across from Superior Court into nearly 50 mixed-income apartments. How all this gets sorted out could be helped by a study that is expected to be launched early next year. The community-based Southside Institutional Neighborhood Alliance, better known by its acronym CINA, hopes a vision for better connecting the civil and criminal courthouses with the hospital campuses will emerge, thereby changing the nature of the street. So it's not just a place that you drive through, but it's a place where you walk. Logan Singerman, Director of Community Partnerships at SENA, said, it's a place where you stop, where you spend time, kind of like what everyone wants in their neighborhood. That vision will require the addition of more housing, like what the city has in mind at the trade school, and storefronts that provide services for workers, visitors, and residents in the Frog Hollow neighborhood. People will be going in and out of businesses, and there's just more sense of this is a place where you grab a cup of coffee, grab a bite to eat, where you get your clothes done at a dry cleaner's, Singerman said. It just has more of a feel of a hub of commerce, of community, and a more livable, walkable neighborhood. How easily storefront tenants could be attracted to newly created space is uncertain. So far, for instance, retail space in the parking garage at the corner of Washington and Buckingham Streets has remained empty. A state spokesman said no viable offers have surfaced since the garage was completed in 2019. Aside from the major investments by the hospitals, the city says it believes the evolution of Washington Street will come in smaller redevelopment projects that will gradually change the perception of the corridor. In terms of what we are trying to do there, this is going to be one of those where it's a lot of singles and doubles around the $1 billion investments by the hospital, said Jeff Auker, the city's director of development services. The development of more housing is a priority for the city and what the city hopes to do at the trade school at 110 Washington Street is an example. You're going to need plenty of housing for your nurses, your techs, for your researchers that are making entry-level wages at times, Auker said. So we have to figure out not just mixed use in terms of retail and housing, but the types of housing. On a recent morning, SENA's Singerman walks along Washington Street, pointing out properties and their future potential. He stops at the intersection of Washington and Park Street. This intersection, Singerman said, should be a focal point for revitalization. On the southwestern corner, there is a wide sidewalk area inlaid with mosaic design, but the view across the street is desolate, with a wide swath of asphalt surrounded by a chain link fence. The corner of Park and Washington, it's kind of a little bit of a no man's land right now, Singerman said. You would hope it could play this beautiful connecting intersection. You just have to get someone moving on it. The properties involved are Second Church of Christ Science. The address is 129 Lafayette Street, and that was built in 1924 to 1929, and it's owned by Vox Church of Brantford. The next one is Hartford Trade School at 110 Washington Street, built in 1929, owned by the City of Hartford. The next business is John P. Nielsen and Sons Auto Dealership, and that's at 122 Washington Street. That was built in 1927, and it's owned by 122 Washington Street, LLC, Elliot B. Gertson, Principal. The next one is Washington Diner at 175 Washington Street, built in 1946 and remodeled in 1963. Owners Town and Country, KSM, LLC, West Hartford, and that building has been vacant more than two decades. And then the next one is President's Corner, with the addresses of 216 to 218 and 224 Washington Street and 146 Jefferson Street. And they were built circa 1920 and circa 1890, and the owner is Hartford Hospital. The next one is Samuel N. Kellogg House at 247 Washington Street, built circa 1875, and that's owned by Hartford Hospital. And the last one, the mobile gas station at 234 Washington Street, built in 1932 and owned by Alliance Energy Corp. Cigna is a partnership of Hartford Hospital, Connecticut Children's, and Trinity College. At CRDA, which provided a $25,000 grant to help fund Cigna's study, Freemuth said the key to making progress along Washington Street will be prioritizing what projects should come first, figuring out how they will be financed, and then getting a school shovel in the ground. The quasi-public CRDA is a key driver of financing behind Bushnell South and housing projects around the city. So what I suggested to Cigna is that I'm not interested in another master plan, Freemuth said. We've talked about this endlessly. There has to be a list of projects. It has to be a list of priorities. Let's get a consensus on that, and then let's go to work on the first project. And that's what this thing has got to evolve into, Freemuth said. I mean, I'm done with pretty pictures and another plan on the shelf. Considering all the travel on Washington Street and renewed attention given the hospital expansions, neighborhood leaders say the time is right to take a close look at where Washington Street is headed in the future. We just think that this is a really prominent street that can be so vastly improved, said Carrie Shea, co-chair of the Frog Hollow Neighborhood Revitalization Zone, which focuses on revitalization efforts. And fortunately, we have these major institutional players and government to participate in this, and a really enthusiastic and activated residential community. It's a place whose time has come. Biden calls out Musk over report he worked in U.S. illegally. And this is out of New York. President Joe Biden slammed Elon Musk for hypocrisy on immigration after a published report that the Tesla CEO once worked illegally in the United States. The South Africa-born Musk denies the allegation. That wealthiest man in the world turned out to be an illegal worker here. No, I'm serious. He was supposed to be in school when he came on a student visa. He wasn't in school. He was violating the law. And he's talking about all these illegals coming our way? Biden said while campaigning Saturday in Pittsburgh at a union hall. The Washington Post reported that Musk worked illegally in the country while on a student visa. The newspaper, citing company documents, former business associates, and court documents, said Musk arrived in Palo Alto, California in 1995 for a graduate program at Stanford University, but never enrolled in courses, working instead on his startup. Musk wrote on X in reply to a video post of Biden's comments, "I was, in fact, allowed to work in the U.S., Musk added. The Biden puppet is lying." Investors in Musk's company, Zip2, were concerned about the possibility of their founder being deported, according to the report, and gave Musk a deadline for obtaining his work visa. The newspaper also cited a 2005 email from Musk to his Tesla co-founders acknowledging that he did not have authorization to be in the U.S. when he started Zip2. According to the account, that email was submitted as evidence in a now-closed California defamation lawsuit and said that Musk had applied to Stanford so he could stay in the country legally. Musk is today the richest man in the world. He has committed more than $70 million to help Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and other GOP candidates win on November 5th and is one of the party's biggest donors this campaign season.